May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our redeemer.
Amen.
Good morning to you all. It's so wonderful to actually see you after weeks of worshiping with you, I guess vicariously. It's so nice to be together. And I'm sure for you it's a joy to be back in church. Now, you may have strange hobbies or things that you really like to do that people kind of wonder about. For me, it's mowing and shoveling snow. For me, those are times to reflect and just sort of ponder life's big issues. And people say, well, aren't there better ways to do that? But I find in this hustle and bustle world that it's just very little time to sit and reflect. There's always one more thing to do, one more person to see, one more article to read. So when do we think about what we do and why we do it? In today's gospel, we hear of the return of Jesus' disciples from their very first foray into the world when they go out as apostles sharing the message. You'll remember that when Jesus sent them out, he said, no bags, no money, no extra sandals, no extra cloak. Just go. Well, now they've come back, and today begins the debrief. And Jesus is eager to learn how it was for them. What did they see? What words did they share? Were they able to heal people? What was that like for them? What did they learn from all these experiences? Since this was their first journey out into the world on their own, there must have been things that they had not foreseen, insights, reactions, and learnings that they could share. When I think about this, I think back to all the times that I've done new employee orientation. You perhaps have done the same thing. Hours and sometimes days of sitting in a conference room or a small office. And oftentimes we'll have a binder full of the materials that we're supposed to learn or to know, at least be able to put our hands on, with lots of white space to write our questions and our own notes. The first few pages are just so typically about the corporate philosophy. Why does the corporation exist? What is it that we're trying to accomplish? What do we expect in a work environment? What do we expect from you? But the disciples, as you well know, they had no employee manual. It was down and dirty on-the-job training, right there. No windowless conference rooms, no number two pencils and beautiful new erasers and small pads of paper. It was just out there with the people. So Jesus was very curious to find out exactly what it was that they had encountered. But they just get started, and boom, the people see them there, and they come and surround them. It's like they were just surrounded like a mob. So Jesus says, all right, we're going to go away to a quiet place, away from the noise, away from the crowds, and they begin to debrief about all this. Mark tells us, even though they went away, people recognized Jesus and the disciples, and they began to flood them with pleas for healing, bringing people from all over the region just to touch the hem of his garment. Which I think tells you something about Jesus' corporate philosophy. Mark tells us that he had compassion for them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. Now, if you'll remember, not so long ago, we heard the story of Herod. In fact, I think it was just last week, Herod and his buddies had a big party. A select few of people were invited. Everybody else was excluded. And they had opulent food and drink and dance, entertainment, shall we say? A very different experience from what Jesus was doing and what he invited his disciples to do. A very different kind of leadership style. We know that Herod was aloof, self-centered, calculating about what his own heritage and reputation would be. What was his word worth? Jesus, on the other hand, was just, he was always out there. He was eating with almost anyone who would invite him. He was available to those who needed to talk. He was willing to listen to their needs. He was willing to be accessible, to be touched. Engaging, we even hear from time to time, with some of people that he might call enemies. And so when he's curious what the disciples have learned, he wants them to learn from his leadership style. And the best way to teach them is out there doing the work itself. We hear this leadership style, at least in part, from our reading from Jeremiah, when God says, I will raise up shepherds over our people who will shepherd them, and they shall not fear anymore. The kind of leadership that God expects is the kind that takes away fear and anxiety and stress. We know a little bit about that from this last year, don't we? Professor Douglas John Hall reminds us that Jesus and God are often described as being compassionate. And I have to confess, I think many of us, when we hear the word compassionate, we often put it down as a synonym for pity. Oh, those poor people. Oh, isn't that sad? Some people say, well, God has pity on me. What else would God do? Or God will pardon me. That's God's business. But Hall points out, pity is something that we can manage from afar. In other words, we can separate ourselves from others. But not compassion. You cannot have compassion unless you really suffer with those to whom you refer. In other words, you've got to be in the trench with people. You've got to be in the presence of people. So when Jesus commands his disciples to go out in his name and to learn about the world, he is urging them to develop their compassion quotient. Having seen some of those struggles and how people wrestle with them, Jesus invites the disciples to come back and talk about that experience. To consider what it is that they have experienced and seen. And wonder aloud together how they feel about it. They are not to stand afar from people and feel sad about that. They are not to work their bums off so that they have no time for reflection. For them and for us, the life of discipleship that Jesus invites us into is one where we see and hear and stand and taste the struggles of the world, including our own. Rather than being apart, we are to be present to the pain, to the hurt, and the sense of isolation that people feel. Not to make ourselves feel better by working to fix the hungers of the world like it was a chore to be accomplished. Nor are we to sit exclusively in our room and say prayers all day. There are people who do that. God bless them. I think for most of us, that's not our calling. Nor are we to be like Herod and consort with only a few leaders who think like him and appreciate him. the introductory pages to this new employee handbook, which Jesus could have offered the disciples, would have talked about loving people by engaging with them, to mingle with all sorts of conditions of people, listening and loving. Jesus didn't feel sorry for those who were like sheep without a shepherd, but he needed to be with them. And if there's one lesson that we take away from this gospel, it was that he was always with those who hungered, those who were frightened, those who longed for, those who seemed like they couldn't catch a break. And he was willing to come back to them again and again and again, listening, teaching, eating together, sitting by the fire together, offering a shoulder or a hand. I believe that this is also the lesson that he has invited us into. How do I truly join with those around me? How do I truly and deeply love all that God has made? And how do I live that out in my life? Amen.